What a sick fucking place.
Want me to come suck and lick you?
It was Robin, the nose stud gleaming in the torchlight. Her slender face was tight with a sexual hunger, her eyes seeming to burst from their sockets toward Christy.
No, I'm good at it.
So am I, but no thanks.
You like men?
Most of the time.
Robin pulled a face, miming puking on the floor.
Yeah! All hard cocks and soft brains. Sometimes just soft all around. Don't know how to give pleasure, just take it. All they do, take it. When we catch them, we teach the shit for brains real different.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Robin smiled at her.
You'll have first go next time, on account of who you are. We strip them and tie them, blind them most times, pull out any teeth they got left so they can't hurt us. Then they use their tongues like we tell them, hurt them if they stop. Why, we use their greedy little mouths for just about everything.
Robin's fingers were straying down across her own stomach, inside her pants, moving faster.
Then you kill them.
Sure, eat them.
Eat them?
Oh, Gaia! They eat us first, then we eat them. Only fair.
It was everything that Ryan had been fearing about the Mutie's lair. Once he'd seen their eyes, he'd figured on subterranean life. And if there were enough of them, they must have excavated tunnels and caves from block to block. Now they found precisely the gloomy maze that Ryan had suspected. Tunnels opened in every direction, most sloping downward. There were smoky torches burning at intervals, filling the passages with the stench of kerosene, casting only limited pools of orange light, with chasms of blackness in between.
Now where?
No idea, Mildred.
Ryan shaded his eye with his hand, trying to peer past the row of flaming torches.
Can't stay here, Dad.
I know that. Anyone could come at any moment, either from outside or inside.
JB spun around, looking into the night, then back again to stare at the row of tunnels.
Yeah, Ryan, both at once.
Run for it!
Ryan was off to a flying start, heading into the extreme left passage. Behind him, they all caught the sound of yelling and the crackle of gunfire. By sheer luck, he hadn't picked the corridor already filled with muties running toward the entrance. It was a maniacal labyrinth. Dark tunnels yawned on both sides, some lit, some in pitchy blackness. Ryan and the others sprinted for their lives. When the main tunnel forked, Carter paused, doubled over, fighting for breath. JB and Mildred were at his side, but not Dean. The boy had disappeared.
Oh, we all do the wibbly-wobbly walk along the wibbly-wobbly road. Keep up, Emily, my sweetest treasure.
Even with the help of the cane, Doc was making painfully slow progress. The agony in his ankle had eased a little during the night, but it began to swell again once they were moving across the uneven landscape of the ville. There was a fresh breeze from the west at their backs, and a bright sun rising in the clear, cloudless sky. Michael considered leaving the mad old man alone. He had learned enough during his scant few days in Deathlands to know that this was a terrifying place of pitfalls and traps, of mutated creatures on two legs, four legs, and no legs, of smiling murder in the pitch of night and in the heat of the noon sun, a world where sense and logic seemed to have no home. He knew that you walked carefully in the shadows, as though eggshells and glass crystals lay beneath your feet. What you didn't do was hobble along in the center of the rubble-strewn suburban highway, shouting and singing at the top of your voice, calling out to your wife, who had been dead for the better part of two centuries. But Doc Tanner was far over the brink. The breeze lifted the rich silver locks off Doc's shoulders. His knee joints cracked and creaked as he dodged around patches of mud.
Buried dung with crow.
Michael was in front and ignored Doc.
I said there was a merry lung with dough.
The young man turned.
Doc, just what in the name of my sweet lord are you babbling on about? Please, stop it.
A fairy clung with blow.
Doc was grinning, as though he just thought of a most cunning ruse. Michael closed his eyes and stood still for a moment, trying to hang on to his own control.
A cherry hung with snow is what I meant, of course.
Frankie brought the news to Christy, along with her breakfast. There were some grits and strips of unidentifiable gray meat that Christy resolved not to risk touching at all.
Trouble in the night.
Christy was spooning up the greasy grits, mopping at the thick gravy with a hunk of stale bread. The juices from the meat had a vague flavor of pork, which did nothing for her digestion.
Trouble? Fucking A trouble. Billy reckons it could be your friend's done it.
Done what? I mean, did what?
Frankie wiped her nose with her sleeve, leaving a slimy trail on the black material, as though a large snail had just passed by.
Lost four sisters. Chilled yesterday, laid on. Patrol found their bodies. Then Ronnie was stabbed.
Who?
Ronnie. I couldn't stand the bitch. We called her Six Cocks on account of her having only boy babies. Useless slag. On watch at one of the main entrances to the Midnight's home.
She got killed?
Sure. Thin steel ripped her up. Then the patrol coming back in saw them. Ronnie was only just about gone.
Saw who?
Black slut with braided hair. Little bastard with a hat and glasses. Smaller one we reckon's a young male. And a big fucker with only one eye. They sound familiar to you? Like you might maybe recognize who they are?
Of course, you know that. They were with me when you lifted me a day ago. My own true friends.
Frankie smiled, showing yellowed stumps of rotting teeth.
Well, looks like they come in to try and lift you back again. Reckon they know how important you are, don't they? Anyway, Red, they're someplace inside the burrows now. Won't take us long to track them all down.
Maybe.
If the fat woman stepped in a little closer, Christy could probably grab her, get her handgun. But if Frankie didn't have the key to unlock the chain, it would be futile. And if Ryan and the others were already in the Underworldville, then the light was a little brighter. Doc and Michael were limping slowly toward the lake, some way farther north than when they'd ridden in the opposite direction in the malfunctioning armored wag. The ill-matched pair was now only a mile or so away from the concealed entrance to the redoubt and from the Kron unit within. But Doc's ankle was becoming more painful, and he finally collapsed.
Rest a while. Emily and my dear children must wait for us. Must wait just a while longer.
Sure.
The young man looked around the desolate wilderness.
There doesn't seem to be any danger, does there, Doc?
Much darkness, my old friend.
Michael stretched. His feet, hardened though they were, had become tender from walking across the ruins of the city.
I wonder where Ryan and the others are, Doc.
I know not about them. Their names are a small memory, not worth forgetting. My heart yearns for rest and light. For me and for you, Emily.
I think you should rest a while, Doc.
Requiem aeternum dona eis domine. Et lux perpetua luceat eis.
The teenager backed away as the old man babbled gibberish at him.
It is a plea. O Lord, pray give them rest eternal and let thy perpetual light shine upon them. I pray for my wife and children, the lost ones. For you and I, who are nearly found, and for light and rest for Ryan Cawdor and the others, wherever they be.
The loss of Ryan's son was profoundly upsetting, but he had seen enough of Dean's survival abilities not to feel desperately pessimistic. If any boy that age could escape from the dank underground maze and the bloodthirsty female muties that inhabited it, then that boy was Dean Cawdor.
Should we go back and look? He can't be far.
Far enough. He'll hide up and then try and make his way up to the surface.
This dark-nighted labyrinth carries echoes all over the place. I think we've shaken them, but they could be ahead of us.
JB took off his fedora, brushing dust off the brim. Ryan eased the long rifle across his shoulder.
If they put out the torches, we'd be in the deepest shit. They could see good in the dark.
How do we track Christy down in this damnable place?
I don't know, Mildred. These passages could easily run for miles in all directions.
They're probably keeping Christy reasonably close to that main entrance. Otherwise, they wouldn't have used it.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Means we gotta work our way back up again.
Or find an exit. And come in again from the same entrance. They wouldn't expect that.
Best plan I've heard yet. We'll head upward whenever there's a choice at a junction. I'll go first. Then you, Mildred, and JB bringing up the rear. Let's do